Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
All right, everybody. I want to thank you guys for joining us again for another episode of the Servant Leader Coaches Bible Study. I am your host, Coach Chelsea, and I am super, super excited. Hang on, Jeff. It's funny, every time I do that and I get ready to stream, Coach Corey Close's trailer comes up. And I love it because it just reminds me of how far the Lord has taken us and how many shoulders and paths he's crossed. We are celebrating the fourth anniversary of the Servant Leader Coaches Bible Study podcast, Bible study fellowship, Bible study family. The list goes on. I was laughing, and this, I promise you, I wish you guys were in here because you would know that this is the truth. But honestly, for those that maybe this is your first time listening, you've been introduced to the podcast, the Lord brought us together during the pandemic in 2020. And these are probably some of the closest people to me. I promise you, we have built in DNA because of the Father, but these are my brothers and these are my sisters. And in that year, I got locked out of my house because I wasn't being obedient about asking these individuals to join a Bible study plan with me. And just about 30 minutes ago, my key didn't work to my now house. And what I'm finding is when God is getting ready to move, that's when the enemy wants to try to come into play and make me call a timeout. But I didn't do that because we have an amazing night of just fellowship and reflection and thankfulness. And there was no better way to do that than to invite back no stranger to the Servant Leader Bible study, no stranger to the Servant Leader family, no stranger to God's hand. We have Servant Leader Dennis McNulty with us. And I got a plug in there, Coach of the Year, Coach of the Year, okay? He is humble. He's an educator. He is a coach, an amazing basketball coach. He's a husband. He's a father. He's a man of God. And he's a pastor of the Lighthouse Family Worship Center. But more than anything, guys, he's a servant leader. And I know that just like anytime you talk to him, the Lord has a word for him to give to us today. So I feel refreshed. I feel renewed. I feel thankful. And I'm going to pass the torch to you, my brother. And I want to say thank you for your time, because time is that one thing that once is given, it's a precious gift. It can't be given back. So I thank you. I'm going to pass the torch to you. We'll get this conversation started.
My sister, thank you so much. And it's amazing. The servant leadership family has become just that, family. You know, when we look back to 4 years ago, in the middle of the pandemic, in your faithful obedience, God connected people in amazing ways. And when I get on with you, it's literally like joining my sister. When Gunn jumps on, it's literally like my brother. When Paul sends out his daily devotions, it's just what an incredible community. And I really do believe that we are. Now, we're certainly imperfect, and we'll get into that in just a moment. But I really do believe that in many ways, this Servant Leadership Coaches Bible Study is really honoring the high priestly prayer. You know, when Jesus said, Father, I pray that they become one as you and I are one. And what an incredible time it's been, you know, for basketball. The women's game obviously took some real top billing here recently, all deserved, all all, you know, in the plan of God, as far as I'm concerned. And then to cap off on the men's side last night. And so to be able to have this 4-year anniversary tonight, with the theme being now, I mean, I should have bought my church musician around here tonight.
Come on here. Let them know, bro.
You done messed around and gave me loaded dice. You inboxed me and said, we're going to go forth with the 4th year anniversary, and we're going to entitle it Our Calling to Fulfill. And I was like, Lord, have mercy. And so we'll start there, right? And whatever it is, if you guys want to jump in, if you want to stop me, please feel free to do so. But I did give it some thought. I laid before the Lord. I always try to take a sober approach before being before God's people in any way, shape, or form. And this is, in essence, what God deposited in my spirit, Our Calling to Fulfill. Well, the first thing I want to say is that Scripture really talks about 3 separate and distinct callings. And the Word of God talks about the high calling of God. The Word of God talks about a holy calling. And the Word of God talks about a heavenly calling. The high calling of God is reminded of us where Paul says, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And that's an interesting thing, because in that, the apostle reminds us of the danger of holding on to anything of our yesterday. When I was a young preacher, I was just under the wrongful assumption that the apostle was telling me to get rid of the negative, get rid of the vices, get rid of the defects of character. All, by the way, the Holy Spirit took away in the process of sanctification. But I found out that if my hands are littered with even the good things of yesterday, they're still too full for me to press and to reach towards that high calling. So I later learned that even the good, celebrate it for a season, but then leave it there because it could potentially hinder me from what God wants to do next. Now, I would suggest that probably, arguably, maybe I would say 2 Peter 1:10, where the Apostle Peter admonishes us to give all diligence to make our calling and election sure. And I think that it's a sad thing that the overwhelming majority of people are functioning something and doing something that they're not called to do. They've got used to the money, they've gotten used to the lifestyle, or they're just grossly out of place, but they're not doing what they've been called to do. And that's sad. So whenever you find somebody that's doing exactly what they've been called to do, and we kind of say it, it's like a colloquialism within our culture where people say, oh, you missed your calling. And I tell folks all the time, I say, oh, God forbid. God forbid. I hope I didn't miss my calling, because if I did, there's no real way that I can reach my purpose. The late, great Miles Monroe used to say that anytime purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. And so if I don't know what I've been purposed to do, God forbid I don't know what I've been called to do, then there is no likelihood that I'm going to fulfill it in the plan of God for me. So the first thing is the high calling. Philippians 3:14, Paul says it this way, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. When we see the word perfect there, Sister Chelsea, it does not mean void of mistake. When we see it in the Koine Greek, it denotes a level of maturity. And I've discovered something about calling. There would be a lot more people that reached the place of their calling if there were a lot more people that became humble and teachable. I think sometimes people miss their calling because they're trying to uncover it themselves. And you might think back to the ministry of Samuel, the great prophet of Israel in the Old Testament of antiquity. Well, think about his initial beginning. First of all, he was birthed out of the dogged determination of his mother, Hannah, right? She said to the Lord that if you give me and take away my barrenness, right, I will give him back to you. And so Samuel is born. Hannah honors her prayer unto God, renders the child back unto God, and he's growing up at the feet of the priest, Eli. And the problem was that God had a calling for Samuel, but Samuel didn't know how to recognize it. And I can't help but to think how many young people we have influence with, how many student athletes we coach, or even folks in some of the pews in our congregation that are not aware that unless God leads you to somebody that can help you to discern his still small voice, you may miss your calling as well, right? So you know the story. God's calling young Samuel, but he doesn't yet know to recognize the voice of God. He doesn't know the potential that is in him. And so he comes and he says to his father, Eli, did you call me? And Eli says, no, I didn't call you. Go back. He goes back to rest. Time again, comes the second time, says, hey, father, did you call me? And Eli says, no, son, I did not call you. And it was after dismissing him the second time that the sage advice of the old said, oh, this must be God. And here come the young lad again and said, father, did you call me? He said, go back in this time. If you hear it, say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Now, that's the part of calling that we're not talking about enough, that God sends people in my life to help me fulfill my calling. So I can't be a know-it-all. I can't be a braggart. I can't be a one-man band. There's no soloist in the kingdom of God as it relates to leadership. Now, singing, yes, worship, potentially, but I need people in my life to help me discover the plan of God for my life. So we see very, very importantly that leadership, mentorship, if you will, is critically important for me to understand what it is that God called me to do. And I know we're only a few minutes in here, but I might as well go now, right? When I was busted and disgusted, when I was strung up and strung out, God used a woman, now deceased, Sister Mary, God rest her soul. God used her to remind me that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. And so when I tell you I was bound up in my addiction, my brother carried me off to a weekend retreat, and I'm like, Lord have mercy, I got to get out of here. I got to get high. This ain't working. These people are a bunch of holy rollers. I'll get to that in a minute. And this woman looked at me with no reservation whatsoever, and she said, God has a tremendous calling on your life. And I can remember feeling sorry for her because my thought was, she has no idea how jacked up my life is. She has no idea. So what I've discovered is that it is God's calling to fulfill, and he needs my cooperation. God needs my cooperation to allow him to fulfill the call of God on my life.
You got to run that back, bro. You got to run that back one more time.
So in essence, she says to me, she went on further to elaborate. She said, God is going to use you to preach the gospel to the nations, and had the audacity to put an S and make it plural. And I'm thinking, man, I can't get out of my own way. I'm afraid to leave my own block because everything that I need, or at least I thought I needed to sustain me in my addiction, was there. So if there's anybody that understands how addiction works, you're bound and limited. The Spirit of God wants to liberate you so that you're free to walk in that calling. And so she, in essence, was my Eli. She was telling me, you might say prophetically, what God wanted to fulfill in my life. So when we talk about our calling to fulfill, what we are in essence saying is, God, I'm willing, ready, and able to bow down to your will for me, whatever that might be, whatever that might be. And we need people to kind of pull us into what God purposed for us. So when we talk about this high calling, I'm reminded of Samuel the prophet, how Eli had to instruct him. The next time you hear it, say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. And anybody that's ever been out in faith, anybody that's ever been launched out into the deep like you were 4 years ago, that could be a frightening proposition. When you start hearing God qualifying you for stuff that is beyond your immediate situation, because that's how God works. God is the end from the beginning. He's the author and the finisher. So he's the master chess player. He's three and four moves ahead of us. Our problem is we didn't learn how to be still in the process, right? Another famous calling in scripture, Isaiah 6. Can't help but to think about Isaiah and not think of our dear brother Paul. Isaiah says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And he gets this incredible vision of the heavenly realm that produced a woe in him, right? He's in the presence of a holy and mighty God, and his initial reaction is woe. Woe is me. Why, Isaiah? Because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people that are unclean. But what I love about it is Isaiah had no idea of knowing that God was going to turn his woe into worship. That because you were honest in your assessment in how busted and frail and compromised you were, I'm going to do something about it. So God says to the seraphim, take the coal from the altar, fly in the direction. And in essence, what we might say is he was consecrated and commissioned to his calling. First consecrated, then commissioned. Again, though, he had no idea in the moment of God's plan for him. And I think that's our problem. We try to strategize based upon where we are, and God wants to bring us into what he called us to be.
Come on.
And so we're stuck in the partiality of now, and God is already preparing us for what he did. And then here's the other dangerous thing that we do. We compare. So I'll give you a perfect example. I am absolutely right where God wants me to be with regard to coaching at the Christian school, teaching at the Christian school, small school. I am in my wheelhouse. There is no other place that I believe God has called me to be. There was a vacancy at a much bigger school, multiple times the salary, and somebody rang me up just to put their toe in the water, just to see if I was a little disgruntled or unsatisfied where I was. It was the shortest conversation that I could ever remember having. I said, I'm not interested because I've learned that I can only grow where I'm planted.
Come on.
And that's not for me. And that's the mistake that a lot of people make. It's like they're trying to get the next rung up the ladder without pausing to ask God if the next rung up the ladder is what they are called to do. So you can't fulfill your calling if you're outside of where God called you to be, right? So a lot of folks don't understand that, you know, when we see Coach Dawn Staley taking us to church after winning another natty, when we see Hurley last night hoisting up the trophy, when we see these kids that went in the transfer portal and it worked out for them, if we're not careful, we can start pursuing stuff that God's not called us to. And here's what I discovered. There is an anointing that is specific to where God planted me. There is an anointing that is specific to where God planted me. So God didn't call me to that. I have this little joke with my assistant coaches. Sometimes the officiating crew will come in the gym and their reputation precedes them and they start. Then I grab them and I say, fellas, you see that fellow over there, that official or lady, whoever it might be? I said, you know why they're here? They look at me and they say, well, yeah, they're here to officiate the game. I said, no. I said, the NCAA didn't call them and the NCAA didn't call us. So we're stuck together tonight. So I don't want you getting all negative. So what I'm saying, Sister Chelsea, is we've got to learn to be satisfied in the vineyard whereby God planted us so that our calling can be fulfilled there. Because
yes,
I discovered you can start wandering. There might be more money, but you're not fulfilling your calling. You might rub elbows with folks that you believe have greater influence or can open that door, but you're not honoring your calling. So what Paul describes in his letter to those at Philippi is this idea that we are pressing towards the mark. And let's just be honest. Isn't it a press sometimes? I mean, we don't always feel like running through troops and leaping over the wall. Sometimes you're battling with depression. Sometimes you're battling with low self-esteem. Other times you're battling with thoughts of yesteryear. And that's why Paul's saying, forget those things that are behind, the good and the bad, and press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. The second calling that the Bible describes is a heavenly calling. So we have a high calling, and then we have a heavenly calling. And he says it as simply as this. He says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest for our profession, Christ Jesus. So we have this heavenly calling. Now, there's no way of me saying this without making the admission that it's a pet peeve of mine. It troubles me when people try to dumb down the reality of their calling. And oftentimes they do it, Sister Chelsea, to make other people feel better.
Come on.
You dumb down the calling. You say things in the church. There's a lot of wrong theology that has crept into the church. So you'll hear people say things like, oh, I can't mess with McNulty because he's too heavenly minded to be earthly good. Beloved, you cannot be good in the earth
if you are not heavenly minded, because my best thinking got me in a boatload of trouble. My best thinking caused me to be disconnected from the perfect will of God for my life. So when I came in and I understood that there was a calling that was greater than my ability to distance myself from it, right? God has called me. And when he called me, blows my mind. He didn't wait till I get it all together. While I was yet sinning, Christ died for the ungodly. And so my calling is greater than my ability to disconnect myself from it. But we have to understand that Jesus, the writer tells us, is seated in heavenly places, right? And I always tell my home congregation, coach, that if God alone were seated in heavenly places, that would make him a God that is praiseworthy. But Paul, the writer, goes on in the very next chapter and says, but you also are seated in heavenly places. And I'll just interject that right there to tell somebody that might be considering otherwise, don't give up your seat. Don't give up your seat to make folks that are not called to what you're called to feel comfortable. Don't give up your seat so that you make infidels and sinners comfortable around you. Be who you are. Don't be afraid. Now, here's the thing about calling. This is the fact that I've discovered along the way. 20 years of pastoral ministry, 30 years of preaching the gospel. Now, when God found me, I was confined to a cell. Y'all don't want to have a celebration with me. When God called me, I was confined to a cell in an oversized jumpsuit that did not fit me because I was doing everything I can to remove myself from yielding to the perfect call of God for my life. I was under the wrongful impression that I somehow was in steering control of God's plan for my life. And so God said, I will literally, you know what happened? I'm going to just tell you the truth. It's all coming out in the book, so I might as well tell you now.
Come on.
When God called me, Sister Chelsea, and I was confined for 3.5 years, and I want to tell you this now. The reason God confined me for those years was because he was affording me his grace. Now, I can assure you, when I was in that penitentiary, it didn't look like grace. It didn't feel like grace. And it didn't sound like grace, but it was, in fact, the grace of God at work in my life, because had I continued on the trajectory that I was on, the enemy would have killed me. And God said, I'm going to give you a respite. I'm going to hide you away so that I can cause you to come to me. And that's what he did. He caused me to come to him. He reprogrammed me. He sanctified me. He reminded me that I was justified. And here's what he did. He called me. He called me. Now, here's the thing that blows my mind. We can become braggarts if we're not careful. You know, we've kind of made celebrity of many of our preachers. And if you're not careful, you'll think you're somebody. If you're not careful, but this is what I love about God. He calls us, but we have to step back, coach, and say, well, who does he call? I don't call the noble after birth. I don't call the mighty, but I call base, insignificant things of the world to confound the wise. Good news is he called you. Bad news is he don't call the most qualified. What he does is qualify the called, as we know.
Come on here.
So little bit by little bit, he introduced himself to me. Little bit by little bit, he showed me the plans that he had for me. Little bit by little bit, he showed me that my ignorance, my pride, my lust and my selfish ambition was not enough to separate him for the love that he had for me and the plan that he had over me. Now, when did he contrive this plan? Well, he contrived the plan before the foundation of the world. God knew that I would be saved long before I ever picked up a Johnny Walker, red or black. God called me to be saved long before I ever smoked a blunt. God called me to save long before I became addicted to cocaine. God called me to be saved from the foundation of the world. I just got the memo late. And he says, your calling is a heavenly calling. I love the Apostle Paul because he was slick with it. The Apostle Paul says to the Galatians, my calling is not of men. And I want to echo that to anybody listening tonight. You're coaching where you're coaching. You're teaching where you're teaching, you're preaching where you're preaching, and you're leading where you're leading, not because some man decided to put you there. You are there by the will of God alone. That my calling is not of men. And I'm thankful for that. Because in those moments of turbulence, when the road gets rough and the winds become contrary, I can't go back to no man. I got to be able to go back to God. And there is nothing more empowering to be able to say to God in prayer than, God, you said. And when you say, God, you said, when you say, God, you said, you've got all of the endorsement and all of the backing of an open heaven. So our calling is a heavenly calling, and it is also a holy calling. But most of all, it is a high calling. Paul says, I press towards the mark of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. But can I suggest something to you? It is the holy calling. It is the holy calling that we really struggle with. Folks don't want to be holy now because they think it's a turnoff to those that are not.
Come on. Come on, bro.
So you want to be holy when you're with holy people. You want to be sanctified when you're with sanctified people. But when you get out there in the marketplace, listen, man, coaching is not easy, but I tell folks all the time, I am as anointed on that sideline as I am in that pulpit. And if you don't believe me, come around here. Send your son around here and you'll see I'll lay hands on him in the middle of the game.
Come on now.
I mean, laying hands on some of our better players in the middle of a game, because I've determined to get them to understand this is not man-made. God did this. God called you. God saved you. And God wants you to live that way. So when we get into understanding that we are a peculiar people, we quote that all the time. We're a holy nation, a royal priest, peculiar people. Well, by definition, peculiar means you're a special person. So here's what I've discovered about calling. And you got to get this in your spirit, beloved. Your calling is going to cause you to be comfortable walking against the grain of the culture. If your calling doesn't cause you to be comfortable walking against the grain of the culture, I actually question whether or not you're called. Sometimes the songs that we sing, they sound nice, but man, they'll mess you up. They run around talking about the safest place in the whole wide world is in the will of God. Well, listen, I've been in the will of God in some vicarious places. I've been in the will of God in some frightening places. I've been in the will of God where he was stretching and growing me, and it didn't feel like the safest place in the whole wide world. So the will of God is perfect, but it does not mean that it's going to be easy. Your calling is not always easy. And I'm going to just make a confession. When I was a young believer, I kind of got that wrong. I thought that when I was the benefactor of fair winds and following seas, this was indicative of what God called me to. I didn't think that any turbulence or any type of difficulty was meant for me. In fact, every time I saw it, I seen it as meaning that it mustn't be God. But boy, as I grew, I rethought that thing. Dare I say it. Don't see you trying to get me started. And I'm trying to behave myself. Lord have mercy. Look at Coach G. Now I'm trying to behave. I got my towel. We're going to have church. Don't you worry. We're going to have a little church. Listen to me. It is irrevocable. The will of God, the plan of God, and the call of God. But it absolutely needs your cooperation. I'm going to take you here when we're going to look at two men. One that was the absolute choice of God, and one that was absolutely the choice of the people. I talk, of course, of the king Saul and the king David. Saul was not God's choice. He was the people's choice, and they were clamoring. And here's why. They did not want to be different. Beloved, can I dare you to be different? Could I dare you to walk against the grain of the culture? Can I ask you to be as comfortable giving God praise in the post-game interview as you are giving God praise in the church house on Sunday morning? Could I ask you, if you are going to give God praise post-game, to make sure you don't have language on the sideline that's not becoming, because you're going to mess around and give a mixed message. James said it this way. Can praises and curses, can salt water and fresh water proceed from the same well? Then how can curses and blessings proceed from the same mouth? See, that's my problem. You can't MF the official and then post game say, to God be the glory. Now, we're not perfect, but you have to strive to holiness. And holiness doesn't mean that you wear long dresses. Holiness doesn't mean that your head is covered. It might to some, but holiness just means that my conversation, my conduct, and my character is becoming of what God called me to do and be. I can remember when I was a young man in the faith, I'd go do Pop Warner football games. I'm announcing the game. I'm not preaching. I'm not teaching. I ain't got no sermon in front of me. I ain't got no text in front of me. You know what those little kids would tell me? I'd come down out of the announcer's booth, and all I'm doing is saying, hand up, is going. So he gets to the outside. He looks back down to the 20, 25, 30, 35, 40. You know what they would tell me post-game? I kid you not. They said, man, you sound like a preacher. I'm announcing a Pop Warner football game, and my gift is making room for me. I'm not, see, this is what I've discovered. My gift is looking to make room for me, but I got to be comfortable walking. It's not easy being called. It is not easy being God's choice. It is not easy being the elect of God. It is worth it, but it's not easy. And so what we discover is, he says, wherein, my holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. I want us to get so lost in our calling to where conversations outside of our calling no longer make sense. I'm going to run that back. I want us to get so lost in our calling that conversations outside our calling are not appealing to us anymore. I'm going to tell, I like talking to visionaries. I like talking to folks that are called because they can't sleep at night and they don't have insomnia. It is the calling that's looking for them. It is the calling that's leading them. It is the calling that is making them comfortable outside of the grain of the culture. But we are called to this thing. And here's the great news. You are called, here it is, gun, even while you are at the brook. That dry brook is not indicative of your calling.
Come on, bro.
And here's what I discovered. Only folks that don't understand how God moves are moved by the fact that your brook dried up. When in actuality, the brook only dried up because it's time for my calling to manifest somewhere else. You're looking, you know you got somebody on here tonight, and I've shared this with you. It said the United States of America versus Dennis P. McNutt. I said, Lord, I'm here. When my indictment came down, it said the United States of America versus Dennis P. McNulty. And I'm lost up in my addiction. I'm all bound up. I'm about 88 pounds after a shower. And I'm saying to myself, Lord, the entire United States of America and me, I don't stand a chance. But what I did not understand was when that indictment came down, a 66, they were trying to put me in Fort Leavenworth, Kansas for 66 years. But God had other plans. God said, no. I'm just going to give you a respite enough to get you to come to yourself so that you can bow your knee so that I can get on with leading you to your calling. And I've had people along the way, listen, I've been home since 1992. So what are they going to do? Somebody said, oh, you tell too much. They, you might lose your, I said, if I lose my job for telling folks where God brought me from, then they ain't the Christian they profess to be.
Come on now.
You understand? If you tell me you don't believe in redemption, and you call yourself a Christian, then you've got to convert to something else, because this is all about those that were lost, but that have been found. Those that were blind, but now see. Those that were lame, but now walk. That's what's happening tonight. We're celebrating 4 years. And remember 4 years ago where we were. We were in a dark place, man. We were in a place. Remember the Zoom meetings? It was filled because we had nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
We just had to come get this word to sustain us. We had to come get this word to stir us. We had to come get this fellowship. You used the right word earlier, koinonia, the Greek word for authentic fellowship. And that's what I love about the call. There is something authentic about the calling of God. There is something humbling about the call of God. There is something noteworthy about the call of God. So let's talk about the last part of this thing, our calling to fulfill. How do we do that? How do we do that? Well, I think the first thing we do is to acknowledge that we don't know everything, that we're looking, as Paul described it, through a glass stained darkly. So I can see shadows, I can see silhouettes, but don't forget, beloved, what the word is. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By design, it is only meant to illuminate but so much. When Audrey gets up in the night and she's going over her numbers or crunching the numbers, she'll put on just enough light on her side of the master bedroom to do what she needs to do. That's what the word is, Sister Chelsea, in our calling, in our anointing. It is a word. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Sometimes what we have to do, beloved, when we're afraid, when we're frightened, when the culture is becoming prominent and we're afraid to walk against the grain of the culture. I had to call a player in today, one of my favorite seniors. I had to call him to the carpet today. He's a multi-sport athlete, baseball first, but has had an amazing basketball career with us. His dad was at the game, posted a wonderful picture of him behind the plate. He's the catcher. He put it on his social media today, and the language was not becoming. Now, you can block me. You can unfollow. You don't have to give me access. But if I am a leader in your life, I can't let you do that, because you can't be a Christian on Sunday and use language like that on the weekday. You just can't do it. So I called him to cut, and he looked at me. I said, get rid of it, because you're shipwrecking the faith. You're not honoring God that called you, and you're compromising your integrity. Don't compromise your integrity just because you want to fit in. Get comfortable walking in your calling to the degree and to the end that you're fine walking against the grain of the culture. Listen, here's the thing. High calling, holy calling, heavenly calling. All right? Let's go real quick to 2 Timothy. Let's go real quick to 2 Timothy 1:9. Now, I'm operating at a deficiency because I don't have my Bible. I left it at school, so I'm working here with this Pew Bible. All right? I'm working with this Pew Bible, and if I could get there, help me, Jesus. I would have lost the sword drill. Remember the sword drill? Remember that in church? Yeah, the sword drill.
Yes.
I would have been a runner up. I would have just lost. 2 Timothy 1:9. Now watch what it says. It says, am I in the right book? Oh, I'm in 1 Timothy. Second, I definitely lost the sword drill. 2 Timothy 1:9. Here it is. Thank you for your patience, beloved. It says, be now therefore.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
For not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. This is one of Paul's prison epistles to his son. But be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. And here it is. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Now, this is encouraging. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. 2 Timothy 1:9. Who have saved us and called us with a holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. See, God's calling is connected to God's purpose. God's calling is connected to God's purpose, and he's not calling us because of our works. He called us while we were yet sinning. He saw the best in me. You want to have church with me or not? He saw the best in me while others saw the worst
in me. We're here with
right?
you.
And go ahead, Sister Chelsea.
I was just finishing you off, letting you know you're not here by yourself. We're here with you.
Well, we appreciate you. But that's the beautiful thing about it, right? So my calling and my purpose are connected. So if that be the motive operandi of God and I miss my calling, is it safe to say then that with that, I miss my purpose. I don't think it's, I think it's undeniable. If I miss my calling, I miss my purpose, because my calling is connected to my purpose and my purpose connected to my calling. And that's why we have so many people that are disgruntled in the church. We have so many people that are disgruntled in the workplace because they're doing something that they're not purposed to do. They've not yet found their place called there. Go there. I have commanded the blessing there. If you go anywhere else, you're on your own. Go down to the brook. I've commanded the raven to feed thee there. When the brook dried up, no worry. That season is over. Get to Zarephath that belongeth to Zidon. I've commanded the widow woman to sustain thee there. And that's the problem with so many of us. We never find our place called there. So therefore, you're not walking in your purpose because you've distanced yourself from your calling. You've distanced yourself from your calling. And I've discovered there is nothing better than walking in your calling. Oh, Sister Chelsea, I go to work every day. I can't even believe they let me in the place. I'm sitting there teaching Bible 5 days a week to teenagers so that I can help them to avoid making the same mistake that I made at their age. Do not succumb to that peer pressure. Be willing, ready, and able to walk against the grain of the culture. You don't have to put no chemicals in your body. You are called and you are anointed. You do not have to lie down with that boy. You do not have to lie down with that girl, because you do not need anything that this world can offer you to validate who you are in God. That's the big problem with many of our young people today. They're looking for validation outside of God. They're looking for somebody to validate them, when in actuality, there could be no greater validation than the God that created the heaven and earth saying, I've called you to walk in my purpose. I've called you to be my servant. I've called you to be my ambassador. I've called you to be my mouthpiece. Listen to me. There is something wonderful about when you recognize that you have been called by a holy God. One of the things that I talk to the home church about, it baffles me about God. It blows my pure mind that the God that created the heavens and the earth wants to take his deity and partner with my humanity. That, I just can't fathom that. I can't fathom that the God that is holy wants to use me, wretched and undone.
Come on
the
here.
God that is the full sum of wisdom wants to use me and all of my folly and all of my ignorance and all of my indiscretion. He said, I still want to use you, Dennis. It blows my mind. But what we do is we forfeit our peculiar anointing, and dare I say, our calling, because something seems like a better option. Come, Adam, help me close my little message. Instead of walking with God in the cool of the day, instead of being used as God's delegated authority, Adam and his helpmeet thought they knew better. And I'm here to tell you, don't go out and do the research. Don't form a hypothesis. I've done it for you. Every time I thought I knew better than God that's holy, it didn't work out for me. Every time I got ahead of God, God, listen, there's no social promotion in God. You are going to be there until you learn the lesson. You're going to be there until you master what it is that he's trying to teach. And the faster you yield to his will, the faster you say, God, not my will, but thine be done. The faster you realize that your calling is connected to purpose and purpose is connected to your calling. The faster you realize that you need mentors and influences in your life to help you recognize the still small voice of God until you learn to recognize it on your own. That's what Eli was in the life of Samuel. He said, go this time and say, if you hear it again, say, speak, Lord, thy servant hear it. But that's what we do. And so God comes looking for Adam. You know the story. In the cool of the day, because he was called to be God's delegated authority. But Adam forfeited the delegated authority because he thought he knew better. And guess what happened? God comes calling. Adam, where are you? Now, beloved, please understand, God didn't lose the only man that he ever created. It was a rhetorical question. In the same way, it was rhetorical when God, that is the full sum of wisdom, said to Ezekiel, Ezekiel, can these bones live? Our answer needs to be that of Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a man of wisdom. He said, Lord, thou knowest. When you've got a coaching assignment that you're in a rebuild and you say, Lord, is this because? Lord, thou knowest. When you got a kid that you're reaching in the classroom, but they seem incorrigible and they're giving you all manner of attitude and isms and schisms. You just quietly say, Lord, thou knowest. When your best player, you got five kids and one of them just got hurt and you're trying to figure out, how am I going to get through this season? Lord, thou knowest. Lord, this is your calling. This is your work. This is your servant leadership Bible study. You willed it to be 4 years ago. The pandemic is well over, but
come
here
on
we
here.
Are.
Come on,
we're
bro.
We're still here because we've been purposed to be here. We've been called to be here. Now the question becomes, are we going to press towards the mark? My prayer is that you would press towards the mark. Press towards the mark of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And that's what Adam failed to do. And I love this. And we'll kind of wind down. At least we'll come in for our initial descent. Is that how they say it on the airlines?
Yeah.
Put your upright table upright. Stow away your laptops. Here's the thing that blows my mind. That God, that is the full sum of wisdom, power, intelligence, wants to partner with us. That should be motivation enough to say, I'm going to fulfill my calling. Now, here's what I've discovered. It's a crazy thing to think about, but there are a lot of people that liked me better when. They just did. They liked me better when I was compromised because I was easier to control.
Come on.
They liked me better when I was compromised because I was easier to manipulate. When I got delivered, there was a liberty that came with it. And I'm going to say this for the five of you that may still be tuned in. Listen to me. You ain't never growing in the grace and knowledge of God until you be delivered from the opinions of other people.
Come on now.
Your calling will never reach its full potential. It will never reach its full purpose until you be delivered from the voices of the critics. You have to be comfortable enough in your anointing to say, this is what God called me to do. And sometimes it manifests this way. This is where God called me to be. I know that looks bigger. I know that might be more prominent. It might even pay more. But this is where God planted me. And with that comes the full endorsement and the full backing of heaven. With that comes God saying, hey, I've called you with a holy calling. And I stopped by to tell somebody tonight that he called you while you were outside of his will. He called you to his purpose and grace. And I'm just going to say this. You know how I feel about grace, Sister Chelsea. Grace has got to manifest like it did in Noah's life.
Come on.
If we're really called, if we really are the called and the elect of God, if we are the beloved of God, if we are the redeemed of God, then grace has got to manifest in someone else's life because of the grace of God that's on me. Come on. The grace of God was on Noah. He was called to build that thing. He fulfilled his calling by building that ark.
Yes, sir.
But he was living in a perverse and wicked generation to the degree in the end that it was reprehensible to God that he created man. He repented that he created man, was going to destroy the earth. But Noah found grace in the sight of God. Now we're going to see if anybody's been under my teaching before. Nowhere does it say in the text that Shem, Ham, or Japheth, his three sons, nowhere in the text does it say his three daughter-in-laws, and nowhere in the text does it say his wife was the recipient of the grace of God. Noah found grace in the sight of God. But all of those souls that were connected to him, his three sons, his three daughter-in-laws, and his wife, all got in and were preserved because of the grace of God that was on Noah. So you want to tell me you're called? You want to tell me that you have a high calling, a holy calling, and a heavenly calling? Then prove it by showing me who's benefiting from the grace of God that's on you.
Come on here, bro.
If nobody's benefiting from the grace of God on you, I question whether you're called. I question whether or not you are the called of God. If you are the called of God, other people should benefit from it. Not just you, not just your four and no more. But every single person you come in contact with, and Sister Chelsea, let me just say this. You've been that for so many. In your obedience, in this servant leadership Bible study, you have been a manifestation of the grace of God. You have been, listen, let us not be naive. You think every time she was scheduled to do the broadcast or the podcast, she felt comfortable in doing it? You think she wanted to go and get the next speaker? You think she wanted to devote herself to making sure that it looked right? Do you think she was? No, there were times where you realize that this is your calling to fulfill, that yes, this sir. Is your way of honoring God. Coach KB just commented, yes, sir. She was planted in Cincinnati until she wasn't. She was down there at the NAIA, until she wasn't. But each step along the way was a victory in the winding place. Now she's up there rubbing elbows with the big dogs. Why? Because she's called for that platform to give God the glory.
Come on,
and
bro.
God's going to grow her even the more. She's going to get comfortable walking against the grain of the cultural norm. And when you get comfortable walking against the grain of the cultural norm, you become powerful in the hand of God.
Yes, sir.
You become, here it is, you become recyclable in the hand of God.
Come on.
You get to be used again once you realize that God, the glory belongs to you. When God uses you and 4 years later, we're still being sustained. God said, I can use you for year five, Chelsea, because you've proven to be faithful in making sure that the glory and honor and praise belongs to the one that partnered with you. And that's really all it is. It's God partnering with us. It is God saying, I'm going to take my power. I'm going to take my spirit. I'm going to take my fire and I'm going to put it inside of you. And when I put it inside of you, I want you to be a faithful steward so that somebody else could benefit from what I've done in your life. Somebody else could benefit from the high calling. Somebody could benefit from your heavenly calling. Somebody could benefit from your holy calling. Don't be afraid to be holy. Don't be afraid to be holy. You can still have swag and be holy. I'm living proof.
Come on here. Come on here, bro. Facts.
Be swagalicious and still be holy. You can be as cool as the other side of the pillow and still be holy. Because holiness is about a lifestyle. And lifestyle is about what I've been called to. Listen, when God delivered me, I made a ton of money in corporate America, but it wasn't where God called me to. So now I make no money at a private Christian school, and I've never been happier in my life. Because I'm impacting future generations to be citizens of the kingdom. You understand? So this is where we are 4 years later. And I told the church on Sunday, we got a lot of colloquialisms here. Say, well, I look back over my life. Can I tell you, if you live your life like me, you ain't got to look back over your life. I got to look back to the beginning of the week. Man, it's Tuesday. And I'm like, God, if it had not been. You understand me? So it's Wednesday. I said, God, if it had not been, I got to look back over my life. I got to look back to last. If we look back to 4 years ago, we were in a dark place.
Ooh.
We were in a frightening place. We didn't know. We lost more lives than we should have. But there's a remnant that still remains. And I want to encourage this remnant tonight. Don't be afraid to walk against the grain. Don't be afraid to be peculiar. Don't be afraid to be exactly who you are called to be in God. Please don't dumb down the reality of your calling to make other folks that are not called to it comfortable around you. I actually think they should be uncomfortable around you.
Come on.
You ever have somebody cuss in front of the sanctified? Oh, I'm sorry.
My bad. Yeah.
You better be. You better be, right? You better be. You better get that out of my locker room. Oh, coach, my bad. You better. You understand? And it's not that you got a holier than thou. It's just that in the place that you have influence over, God's going to be glorified.
Yeah.
And God don't get glory in that. So that's really all I wanted to tell you, man. It's a high calling. It's a holy calling. It's a heavenly calling. And the only way that we're going to fulfill it is to remember that it is God that does it. It's God that does it. This is not me. This is not you. To God be the glory. God takes his deity, partners with our humanity, and opens up incredible doors. I mean, connects us with people of influence. Give us the opportunity to glorify him. I mean, you look at Coach Daly. I mean, that was amazing, man. How could anybody hear that and not say that that was a God moment? Now, she had to ruffle some feathers to tell you they got to rip out your heart at times. You know what I mean? That's what he got to do. But the revelation's on the other side of what we're willing to endure. The revelation is on the other side of what we're willing to come out of. The revelation is on the other side of what we're willing to press towards. So I don't know if this helped anybody tonight, but my prayer is that it did. My prayer is that you're now oriented to say, you know what? Yeah, if nothing else, I got to get comfortable being uncomfortable. I've got to get comfortable being who God called me to be. And it might take some time for you to get your legs underneath you, comfortable in this new dimension. But man, spend a little bit of time there. And I promise you, legions of angels wouldn't be able to drag you back to what God called you out of. Because God says, I'm going to take you and I'm going to use you for my glory. If that helped anybody, then go out there and be peculiar in your anointing. Go out there and fulfill your calling. Go out there and say, listen, man, I went to Bible study online last night and I discovered, man, y'all telling me wrong. I can't do anything if I'm not heavenly minded. The word of God tells me to put on the mind of Christ. You telling me that I'm too heavenly minded to be earthly good. I got a revelation. You can't be earthly good if you're not heavenly minded. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Where did he come from? Heaven. So don't let people cause you to be compromised in the peculiarity of your anointing. That's all. That's all. I've said too much already.
You're not going to sit here and say that's all like you didn't say anything. Like you're not going to do that. You know, and I try to be good, but when, you know, you get me all worked up, right? And I was laughing because you talk about as I look back over my life, and I was trying to pull this up while you were talking, also talking to the folk that's feeling what I'm feeling right now after the words God gave you for tonight. And I was trying to find this quote. I was in this professional development, and you know how they do the little icebreakers. And one of the things, I found a screenshot, and it was a quote that they had, and it says, happiness consists of solid faith, good health, and a bad memory. Mm. And I remember sitting in there, and I was like, okay, you know, you could look at it this way. And I said, but I don't agree with the bad memory part. Mm. I knew where they were going with it. Mm-hmm. But see, when you said, as I look back over my life and I think things over, see, a bad memory doesn't allow me to remember how good God has been to me.
Yes.
See, a bad memory doesn't allow me to recognize those scars we talked about before, because see, my scars are beautiful to God. They're reminders of the testimony. See, I have a scar here where they took out my rib, brother, because mm-hmm. my arm and my hands and the feeling mm-hmm. of my dominant right arm didn't work. But see, if I had a bad memory and I didn't have scars, I wouldn't know that he was a healer.
Mm-hmm.
A mm-hmm. bad memory wouldn't take me back 10 years ago when I'm playing a basketball game and collapse. And yeah. I have a brain aneurysm, yet he heals me at the very moment before they cut me open. A bad memory wouldn't help me to remember that. So when you said, as I look back over my life and I think things over, I'm going to finish it for you. I can truly say that I've been blessed. I have a testimony. And yes. a part of that, when we talk about leadership, it truly is the transparency and our testimony. And you said he turned my woe into worship. It's those moments when you said, allow us, it's swagalicious to be holy. It is, because at the end of the day, glitz and glamour are not going to help me when I'm in my winding place, as you said.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because the swag that you had when you were in a jail cell, brother, I'm sure you can attest, all that was gone at that point.
That's right. That's right.
Come on here. Don't get me started. See, he does stuff like this, y'all.
Well, you're in good company, because David, the psalmist, said exactly that. He said, when I remember you
on
my bed, when I remember you in my night watches, when I remember when I was in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, he said, Lord, show me the power here as I've seen it in the sanctuary. So we absolutely need what I like to call previous point of reference. And sometimes in your winding places, that's all you have. All you have is that, God, if you did it there, you could do it here. If you did it before, you could do it again. Right? Some of these things that have become popular in the church culture. And I love that, because if we fail to remember, we could potentially be doomed to repeat. So it is good to remember where God brought you from. It is good to remember that God called me with a purpose. And I just love it, because if we didn't remember those things, then, and the scars, don't even get me started with that. You know, I've told you before, we look at them all wrong. The scar is not indicative of what hurt me. The scar is indicative of what God healed me from.
Come on.
That's why you have the scar. It may not look great, but it don't. You could touch it. You can handle it. It doesn't. It's not unpleasant to do any of that, right? And so the only thing I would say is that we remember that our calling is connected to our purpose, and our purpose is connected to our calling. And those memories are there, and those times of remembrances are there, so that we could tell somebody else that may not yet know it for themselves, that, listen, you're looking at the tangible evidence to the reality of a God that exists. And Paul does that in three very lofty arguments in the book of Romans. You know, he gives us the ontological argument for the reality or the existence of God. He gives us the cosmetological. Yesterday, everybody was caught up with the eclipse. You know, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth his firmament declares his glory. But the third part of that is what I like to talk about. What we're doing tonight is the anthropological argument, the argument anthropos, human being, that you are a testimony of who God is. I'll close with this. In John chapter 11, Jesus raises up Lazarus, right?
Mm-hmm.
In John chapter 12, the Pharisees are not only plotting to kill Jesus now, but they're plotting to kill Lazarus as well, because John records it this way. It said, because of him, Lazarus, many came to believe on Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't really know that you are a danger
until other folks are compelled to believe as a result of what God's did in your life.
Come on now.
And that's when you're a real threat to the kingdom of darkness. Like, yo, God is doing so much in her life, in his life, in their life, that other people are being compelled to come to Christ as a result of what he's doing in their life. And that's exactly what happened in Lazarus. But I want to say one other thing. God wants to take his deity and partner with our humanity. One of the more fascinating things about Jesus raising up Lazarus is that he was God enough to raise him up 4 days later, but for some strange reason, allowed him to come forth with the grave clothes still on. Once again, proving that he wants to take his deity and partner with our humanity. And the biblically astute know that he looked at those that were there and said, loose him and let him go. So he gave them a part to play in Lazarus' deliverance. He was certainly God enough to cause the bandages and the grave clothes to come off if he was God enough to call him out of a catacomb 4 days later. But he chose not to do it to demonstrate to us once again that he wants to take his deity and partner with our humanity to help us to fulfill our calling. You loose him and let him go. I love that. And, you know, I had people in my bondage that God used in that way and told me, and I'm going to close with my sister Mary. She told me in my bondage that God called me to great. She said, God is going to use you to preach the gospel to the nations. I've preached all up and down. I preached so much in Jamaica, I almost became Jamaican. I mean, I preached in Jamaica. I used to go long term. You want to see a picture of me in Jamaica? I was so dark. Look at this young boy. This is my driver when I was in Jamaica. He drive me all up and down that island preaching to the glory of God. I done messed around and baptized folks in the Jordan River. I've been to Dimapur, Nagaland, India, preaching the gospel. God found me third tier, first cell.
Come on.
You understand? I was third tier, first cell, triple size showers, a jumpsuit, orange, didn't fit me, and a size 12 and a half shower shoes. I'm a size 8. God said, you just the type I'm looking for, because I'm going to put my power in you. I'm going to put my spirit in you, and then I'm going to bring you through a process called sanctification, where I cause you to be rid of the hurt of yesterday and press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I know that I don't call those that are qualified, but I'll qualify you if you bow your knee. And that's what he did. And that's why I tell folks, I'm not going to clean up my testimony. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. So if you're uncomfortable with my anointing, if you're uncomfortable with my calling, which is connected to my purpose, you got to take it up with Jesus, because I say, like Paul, my calling is not of men, but it is of God. Oh, I got some credentials on the wall, but they didn't call me. They, you know, my organization, I love them. I tolerate them, but they didn't call me. God did. So Sister Chelsea, keep on, my sister. Keep that hand fixed to the gospel plow and don't look back. And let year 5 be the greater year than grade 4. And let this thing manifest to the glory of God. And I'm going to just tell you, you keep those little Twitter fingers going, because I believe, and I'm going to speak this now, I believe that some of these folks that would bring more people into this room than yours truly are going to come on this year. I believe it. I believe God's going to move on their heart, and God's going to give them a platform to whereby they can't resist it. God is going to trouble them until they tell the servant leader, yep, I'll be on. When do you want me? And you're going to see this thing blow up even the more. And that's saying something, because God has brought it a mighty long way.
Come on here. I receive that.
I love y'all.
In Jesus' name.
I appreciate you, and I want y'all to receive it. That's all I've got. I thank God for this opportunity from the depths of me. I thank God for this servant leadership coach's Bible study. It is ordained of God, and nobody can convince me otherwise.
I love you, brother. Oh, goodness. Look, in due fashion, before we get y'all out of here, don't leave, because this is where the fun part comes. Do not leave, I promise you, in due time. Give us 5 minutes and we'll be out after a prayer from our brother. Do not leave, okay? Really quick, just before, in true fashion, since the very beginning, there is nothing that has to be said. If you are on any of the socials and you have something, a question or anything for Pastor Dennis, put that in there. I will read it to him. But anybody in the upper room in here have anything for our brother, please, now is the time and the moment. And I'll look in the chat, literally next 5 minutes, you have anything for him, go ahead and send that, and I will ask it over before my people in the upper room. If y'all have something for him, y'all can come off mute and let it rip.
Say, I'll go first.
Hey,
my brother, Coach D, No, it was amazing tonight. It hit home in so many ways. Just the whirlwind of everything that has happened with the journey and coming back from the convention, being away from home, and then coming back home. And you hit the head on a coffin. It's like, be you. God walks and put you there for a reason, made you who you are for a reason. And you might be different than everybody else, but just stay true to what God called you to do and who you are, and definitely needed to hear it. And it's always good to see you. And just every single time you're preaching, your day is on point. So I just want to say thank you, my good brother. I love you. Love
Appreciate you, sis. We love you. Keep on, coach. Keep on. Keep doing great things.
it. Yep.
I'm checking G. He normally want to come. I just want, okay. I'm gonna tell y'all real quick about my sis. She don't like that Coach KB who y'all just talked about, talking about being planted, growing where you're planted. We started this thing 4 years ago. She was in the trenches, high school coach Cincinnati, like me, made her way, like Pastor Dennis said, down to North Carolina, Montreat College. And now my sister's over there at Washington State, assistant coach, D1, doing her thing. They had an amazing season. So let's talk about growing at being grown where you're planting and allowing God to use you and move. I see you, G. Do your thing.
Oh, no rush. I was letting y'all handle it. Let's see. Been a minute. I'm glad to see everybody. KB, absolutely on that. Great job. Seeing you from afar, doing your thing, man. I'm happy for you. That means we're doing something right. D-Mac, my guy, always a blessing to catch a word from you. I guess the biggest thing for me, A, be present where you are. You know what I mean? B, don't dim your light and make sure that you're unapologetically you, what I try to, preach to my kids that I work with, or just anybody that I come in contact with. Hey, if whoever you may be, sometimes we may require change or growth or whatever that may be, but in that moment, be unapologetically you, because ultimately, whatever it is that you stand for, fall for, testify to, or whatever is gonna just permeate from you, and is gonna show, and you never know when you're gonna be a blessing to somebody else. And I'll close it with this. Coming up, you probably wouldn't believe I hate talking in front of people. That's a quote, right? But they would make me get up and read this, make me get up and read that. And they say, oh, you're pretty good at this. I'm like, well, appreciate it. I just get up and do what I felt like I needed to do at the time, and I go sit my butt down. But it's like getting up to do what you just did. You probably said that, at least in terms of your testimony or your faith and your backstory, you probably said it, what? You've been preaching 30 years? You probably said it a million times at this point. But it never gets old, because one, you know where you came from and you don't want to forget it, because you don't want to go back there. But you're also trying to save the next person from even getting to that,
yeah,
that pit, if you will, or the winding places, as you like to say. So great message, on point, well received. I thank God for all of y'all, because like you said, during the pandemic, it was like, hey, I can't even go to church. I can't go to practice. I can't do this. Can't do that. Hey, what's this? Shout out to the homie Chelsea, man. I clicked on the button and we hadn't looked back since. So I'm thankful for that too, man. Glad for y'all having me, and everybody keep doing what you're doing.
Appreciate you, coach.
I can't get the balloons to come back up. Happy
there they go. There we go. Yeah. We appreciate you, G. And before we head out, I'm going to do this last thing. We say prayers. I wanted to make sure no one had a prayer request in there. Little quick, brief answer. I had somebody say, I'm not a coach. So just real quick, I'm going to give y'all a small little 30-second snippet, right? In basketball, there is a position, right, known as the triple threat, okay? And from the triple threat, we use it because it's a great position to allow us to do three things. I was reminded of this because my brother talked about the theme for the anniversary, our calling to fulfill. My brother talked about the high calling, the holy calling, and the heavenly calling. 3 points to put us in position, right? To fulfill our calling. And so from this triple threat, it's a position that we put the people, as soon as they start learning the game, it's a fundamental task and entity of the game that I don't care how high you go in the game. This is a position you still stay in because it placed me in the best position to shoot, pass, and dribble to be effective, right? I want to charge everyone tonight to have the same triple threat position for the high calling, holy calling, and heavenly calling. Because when you're in the best position, right, I can receive direction. I can be effective. I can shoot my shot. I can direct and I can pass anything over, like I talked about this morning, to cast my cares from that position. So I charge everybody that's listening, Christ followers, listen later, stay in the position, the best position to stay in the high calling, holy calling, and heavenly calling of Jesus Christ. Brother, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the then. Thank you for the word. Thank you for the now. And I call it right now in Jesus' name. Right? Yes. Y'all stay tuned for us because I know the Lord is going to lead us to some places to where more hearts can be touched by many of these servant leaders that they can see the light of God. So I'm going to ask you for one more thing tonight. If you could say a prayer, one for those that may not know him, one for those that know him. But as you said before, we got to be in that proper position. We got to not be afraid of being holy, and then say a prayer to lead us out.
Amen. Will do. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we bless you and we thank you for this community. We thank you, O God, for your goodness and your grace towards us. I pray, Lord Jesus Christ, for those, O God, that may be on the outside looking in. I pray that the glorious light of the gospel would shine in their heart and that they would be prudent and wise to repent and believe. I pray, God, that we would all come to know that there is no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. Lord, we thank you that our calling is connected to our purpose and our purpose connected to our calling. We thank you for the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And our prayer is that you would anoint us to press towards that mark. I pray, God, that you would help us to understand that holiness is not an option, but rather a lifestyle, because you said, be holy, for I am holy. And God, help us to be comfortable in the dimension and in the realm for which you've called us. Lord, we thank you that you've taken your deity and your desire to partner with our humanity. We realize, Lord, that we're really wretched and undone. We realize that we're not deserving. We realize, God, that when we look back over our life, when we remember, we realize, God, how good you've been to us and how your mercy has been afforded to us time and time and time again. I pray, God, that you would do like you did in the life of Isaiah, where you would take us from woe to worship. I pray, God, that you would help us to be like Noah, where other people benefit from the grace of God that's on us. I pray, God, that you help us to be effective in our calling and that we would be comfortable in the skin, oh God, that you've called us to be in. I pray, Lord, that in our winding places, we would learn a little there, grow a little there, disconnect from wrong influences over there, and ultimately arrive at our next place called there. I lift up this particular servant leader to you, oh God. I thank you for her faithfulness down through these 4 years. I pray, God, that you continue to open doors that no man can shut and shut doors that no man can open. I thank you for every coach, every leader, every believer, every soon-to-be believer that has heard this word tonight. Now, God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray, God, that you grow us, that you perfect us, that you mature us, that you help us to build each other up and not tear each other down, and that we further, oh God, would advance the kingdom of our God and grow his church. In Jesus' name, amen.
And amen.
Love y'all.
I don't
y'all.
Have to say you're part of the servant leader family. You already are. So we love y'all. We thank y'all for listening. Do good and be good. And we'll see y'all next time.
Love y'all.
Love you, man. Love y'all.
Bye.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.